Joshua 6. I'll share with you that I am preaching tonight under protest from my wife. She'd prefer that I rest a while longer. And I understand that, but I feel like I need to be here tonight. And pray for a couple of things. My health. Number one, my energy level. It's still not anywhere near what it needs to be. Number two, my voice. Anytime I have a surgery or a procedure where they put that tube down your throat, it affects my voice. And you can probably tell it's a little worse than usual. And so just pray that that'll come back quickly and completely. We're in Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read this chapter, and I want you to follow along with me. The Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the 7th day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at that 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she had the messengers, hid the messengers that were sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, an ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire on all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account. We believe it's absolutely true. We know many say it's a fairy tale. Many say it's impossible for this to happen. But Lord, we believe with all our heart this is exactly what happened and the way it happened. And we know it was because of your power, your moving, that these people were able to take that city of Jericho. And Lord, there's things we can learn from them that will help us to take down strongholds in our lives. There are the things we can learn from them that will help us to be more victorious in our Christian lives. Help us tonight to see those things, to learn, to get help. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me find that little... Do we know where it is, Pastor Meyer? Oh, I found it. All right. I've titled this, God's Formula for Victory. God's Formula for Victory. It's interesting how we see God giving them the victory. And, of course, it doesn't make sense. But many times God don't make sense. And that's something we have to learn. And so let's look at what happened here and go down through this chapter. I got this picture. This is one artist's rendering of what Jericho might have looked like. And notice there's actually, we might call it a double wall and wall level in between there. Some people think that might be the way it was. Others think it was one solid wall. But the city was completely surrounded with a wall, a very fortified wall, if you will. All right, the first thing we want to look at is the plotting against the enemy here. And we find that in verse 1. Here's Israel, and there's probably 2 million people. And they are camped all around that city. And the Bible says nobody went in and nobody came out. Oftentimes in the Bible, you'll read about a city being sieged. And that's exactly what would happen. A foreign army would surround the city. Nobody came in. Nobody went out. Consequently, they would run out of food. They would run out of water, et cetera, et cetera. And either fight to the end or give it up, one or the other. So that's where Jericho is. But Jericho is not really fearful that I can see in the Bible, because they have these big strong walls. And this is just a bunch of ragtag people out there. And there's no way they're going to be able to penetrate these walls. And so we see the enemy here. But I want you to notice something else about it. The enemy is fearful. Why are they fearful? Now, I said they probably wasn't fearful because of the people. It wasn't looking over the walls and seeing 2 million people out there that caused them to fear. You say, well, what caused them to? Go back to chapter 2. These are the two spies who've come to Rahab. In verse 8 it says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So what was their fear? Their fear was in who they represented. Their fear was in the God of the Israelites. They understood that it was by God's power the Red Sea was parted. It was by God's power that they had had the victories they had already had. And so they're fearful. They're in fear. They were frightened, and they were besieged now. And it's interesting that there's a contrast. Now, the first time the people of Israel had a chance to see Jericho, they came back with a report that said, there are walled cities that we can't conquer. But now here they are going against the walled city that they supposedly couldn't conquer. And then we see this, the enemy's fear, and then the plan of God. God has a plan. Jericho's a very formidable city. And it's going to be, in the Israelites' eyes, impossible to conquer on their own. But God has a plan. He's their king. He's their commander. And if they will follow him in faith and obedience, they can see the victory. In verse 2, God already tells them, I have given you into thine hand Jericho. So God is making them a promise there. God has given them assurance there. God is saying, I've already given you the victory. By the way, he made us a promise that we too can have the victory. Yeah, we often say, I read the back of the book and we win. Now, our enemy is a very formidable foe. Don't take him lightly. But we don't have to fear because we have one greater than our enemy. And we can do what man thinks is impossible in overcoming him, but it's not by our power. So we see that God has a plan here, and he lays it out for them. And boy, God's plan is anything but ordinary, anything but sensical. A military man would never sit down and draw out a plan like this. But see, God says over, go to Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah 58. Car accident? Car? Okay. Father, we pray for David. We don't know what's happened. We don't know how serious it is. We just pray you'll be with him. Help the doctors to help him and treat him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 58. That's not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's 57. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Well, I've written down the wrong reference, but the reference is to Isaiah where God says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. Too often we try to figure God out, and too often we try to put God in our little box that makes sense to us. God says, no. No, there'll be many times when you can't figure me out. There'll be many times when it don't make sense to you. I was thinking about, we believe in tithing here. We preach that tithing is biblical. Sometimes when people hear this for the first time, like my wife and I, when we heard it, we were in debt. We were struggling to live week by week. And suddenly we hear that God says we should give him 10%. And so it took us a little while to come to a place where we would obey, because our thinking was we're already barely able to make our bills if we make them. And if I give 10% to the Lord, that's just going to put me further in a hole. But see, that's man's thinking. God says in Malachi, if we'll by faith be obedient, then he's going to bless it and he's going to make us able to do what we have to do. And that's what God's doing here. It wasn't an ordinary plan. The men of war, seven priests with seven trumpets, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and the rest of the people, they're to march around the city one time every day for 6 days. With those priests blowing those horns, making a bunch of racket. Nobody else talking. Everybody else is silent. Now, I can't imagine what's going through the people of Jericho's minds when they look over and they see this. What in the world? These people just keep marching around our city every day. Well, they probably weren't alarmed at that. But they didn't know what God was doing. God had a plan. God always has a plan. And then he says, on the seventh day, go around seven times. And then when they blow those trumpets, all the people are to shout. Can you imagine 2 million people shouting? That's a lot of racket. And God says, the walls are going to fall down. I love this. Flat. I believe those walls literally crumbled. Now, some people believe that they fell inward, which allowed the Israelites just to walk right up into the city. Could be. But the sum of it is that what was protecting Jericho, what was impossible just a few minutes before, became reality now. Because when they shouted, the walls came down. Now, we see the plotting against the enemy, their fear, and the plan of God. And then we see the way to victory. I'm sure the Israelites wondered. You know, people are people. Did you know that? Many times in counseling, when someone's had a problem with somebody, I just tell them one thing you have to remember. People are people. What do you mean? People are going to have difficulty sometimes understanding. People are going to be sometimes ignorant. People are going to be harsh. people are going to be upset. There's all kinds of emotions and things that everybody has. And so when somebody acts in one of those kind of ways, I said all that because there's 2 million Jews. I personally don't believe that all of them were happy and content marching around Jericho. See, they're people. And I imagine these men walking around Jericho, and a few of them at least, this is nuts. What in the world are we doing? Every day we walk around the city and then we go back to the camp. What's up with this? Has Joshua lost it? We got to do something different than this. Man, we should be building ladders or something. You with me? Do you think there might have been some of that? I do, because I've pastored the church. Yeah. And see, I've been at it long enough to figure out not everybody always agrees with leadership. Not everybody always gets on the wagon. To be real frank with you, normally there's at least a couple that aren't with you. You got to expect it. So what do you do? Well, if you know it's God's will, if you know it's what God wants, you press on. And see, you're going to be vindicated in the end when God gives the victory. We're in a remodel program. $70,000. I'm sure there's some people in our church saying, why is he spending all that money? Our church was fine before. Now, there are many others who are saying, wow, yeah, we needed to do this. This really, yeah, I'm with you. But I'm sure there are some who are saying that. All right, in the end, they're going to realize this is something we should have done, we needed to do, and it's going to be beautiful. But in the meantime, and it's that way in anything you try to do. So here's Joshua, he's got all these people, he tells him what God said. But I'm sure some of them weren't happy. So now they're walking around this city. By the way, if my information is correct, it wouldn't take them long to walk around that city every day. I don't know, somebody said a couple hours at the most. Every day. Somebody said a lot less time than that, just to walk around the city. So it wasn't like they were on some long journey. Now, let's picture the people inside of Jericho. Again, looking over that wall, they know they're out there. And they see out there, first, the army, the military, and if we have our numbers right, 600,000. That's a lot of folks. And they're out in front. And then we find the ark and the priests. And I'm sure there was a separation there. And they're seeing all this. And again, they're not understanding. They don't know what's going on. But it says they're to walk. So they carried the ark. They circled the city. And they went before God. You know, that idea of walking before God. God told Abraham to walk before him. We hear about Enoch, and he walked with God. Over in Colossians, we're told to walk in him. That idea of walking, that talks about walking as a step-by-step process. And it talks about our walk of faith. It talks about our activity, the steps that we're taking in our life. We're to walk with God. Well, the way to victory, the orders are outlined, and here's the key, they're carried out. Let's just put under that obedience. You know, there's a lot of people living defeated Christian lives. They're not having the victory. Sin's having its way with them. The devil's having his way with them. The world's having its way with them. It's not God's fault. It's their fault. Sometimes they get in a pity party and say, well, God must love other people more than me. I struggle. No. A lot of times if you examine the life of somebody who's not having the victory, you'll find out why. It's because they're not being obedient. You know, I titled this God's Formula for Victory. And it's real simple. Faith plus obedience brings victory. That's not a hard concept, is it? But if that's true, then the opposite's true. No faith, no obedience, no victory. All right, do we believe God or don't we? Well, yeah, I believe God. Okay, so you know what this book says. Yeah, I know what the book says. Are you doing it? Are you obeying it? Well, I like this answer. Well, some of it. Not really. What part did God say you didn't have to obey? Well, the victory comes as we step by step walk with the Lord. You know, the walls of Jericho, when they came down, they didn't come down in installments. There was no real sign of them starting to crumble. You know, it wasn't like on the first day they started seeing cracks or anything. It was just that instant that the Lord kept his promise because they walked before him. And they obeyed him. And then we see special instructions. That seventh day, we all know the story, what they had to do. They had to go seven times. Why seven? Well, sometime do a study on numbers in the Bible. Numbers in the Bible have an importance. Seven is the number of perfection or completion. Seven we refer to as God's number. What's man's number? Who? Who? Six. The number of man. God is seven. And so they walked around seven times. Jericho was only about 8 or 9 acres. So to walk around the city would take, I said, a couple of hours, and some people said less than an hour. But and the horns they used, seven horns. Really, I don't know why God wanted them to blow seven horns. I'm sure some people have some ideas. I just didn't find anything. And so seven times... Seven times on that last time, and then all those trumpets blowing. And then the walls just come down. And then we see the people shouted. And here's the victory. Walls are down. Now Jericho is totally unprotected. Now Jericho is to be destroyed. We'll look at that in the next lesson. But utterly destroyed. If you get the picture, God said, go in there. And this sounds really harsh. Kill everybody. Men, women, children. Well, I just don't believe God would do that. That's what he said. And kill all the animals. Burn everything. Utterly destroy that city. Wipe it off the face of the earth. That sounds harsh, but it's what God told them to do. And that's what they did. And you know, it's interesting how the last part of chapter 6 tells us this. 26, Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. God said nobody's to rebuild this city, ever. And then he said if anybody tries to, his first son is going to die and his other son's going to die. You know, that's exactly what happened. I didn't write down the fellow's name. But he did rebuild Jericho, and you know that happened because when we hear about Jesus, he's entering into Jericho, and he's leaving Jericho. So somebody along the way did rebuild the city, but we don't believe they built it on the exact site, built it not far from there, but it was at the death of his first son, his second son. So, let's look at the lessons. Number one, our victory comes through faith. Believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So the very first step is to have faith. Well, I'm facing a giant. We all face giants from time to time. You have the faith to believe your God can beat him? You know, David didn't go out against Goliath and say, I can take you. He went out and said, my God can take care of you. He had faith in God. And that's what we have to do. And again, oftentimes it seems impossible. I think that's one reason God gave us this account. To show us that he can do the impossible. That he can do what man never thinks. And he can confound the world in what he's doing to get the victory. Again, many times we don't understand why God's letting this happen, why God's letting that happen. But ultimately, he's going to bring it around to where he has the victory. So we see our victory comes through faith. And our victory comes through obedience. You know, when I think about faith and obedience, many times I think about Peter and his experience in that boat. Remember that? Where he's out fishing, and here the Lord appears on the shore, and he tells Peter, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Oh, we've been fishing all night, and we've caught nothing. Peter's looking through human eyes. Don't make any sense to put the net on the other side. Man, we fished out here all over the place. Ain't no fish. He says, nevertheless, at thy word. And he let down his net. Faith, at thy word, I'm going to do what you said to do. And what happened? When he obeyed, the net was full. When he obeyed, he got the catch. See, sometimes God's telling us to cast our net and we're not willing to let it down. Because we fished all night. It don't make sense. That's not going to work. Oh, really? My ways are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. We have to come to that. You know, it's so simple, and yet so many people struggle with it. Faith plus obedience brings the victory. You know, I'm sure you've had the experience, I've had the experience, we've had the experience of just having to trust God. Yeah? Don't make sense to me. Trust God. The world may laugh at you. You're a fool. I remember when we moved to Florida. When we lived in Fairless Hills, we had a 3-bedroom rancher home. It wasn't a big house. But along the way, we decided to put a big addition on it. We put 3 bedrooms and a bath upstairs. And we did a lot of the work ourselves. I had a fella do the outside. I did everything inside, plumbing, electric, drywall. We got that all done. It was wonderful. We had more room. Each of the kids had a room and all. It was great. And then we redid some of the downstairs, you know. We had put the fence in the yard and all that mess. And we had everything fixed up. I was just on the verge of redoing the kitchen. That'd be the last thing. God says, it's time to move to Florida. Okay. So we go down to Florida and we find a house down there. It's about half the size of our Fairless Hills house. It's 3 bedrooms, very small bedrooms, 2 baths. But it will meet our needs. So we buy it. The moving truck comes and they load up this big moving van and they drive it down there. The fella driving the truck had a girlfriend that drove with him. And she took care of all the records, what went on the truck, what came off the truck. I never forget when they pulled up in front of our house at Greeland Avenue down there in Florida. That girl got out and she walked in the house so she could see how many rooms and what goes where. And she came back out, she said to my wife, she said, I can't believe you traded that for this. We didn't have a problem with it. We were content. We were happy. Why? We're just being obedient. But the world thinks we're foolish. She didn't understand. It wasn't about the size of the house. It was about doing what God wanted us to do. And so don't let the world sway you. They can think you're foolish if they want to. Who gets the last laugh? Yeah. So let's just learn that little formula. Faith plus obedience brings a victory. Father, thank you that we can have the victory. Thank you that you're able to do what we deem to be impossible. Thank you for this account of Jericho and what you did there. And Lord, such a miracle, it's sometimes hard to even talk about. That you would literally destroy those walls of that city. What men said was impenetrable, and what even the Jews had said earlier, they could not overcome. And yet you gave them the victory. Help us to learn from that. Help us to realize we just need to have faith and be obedient. Help us in that area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Yes.